throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Father God, thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to be together with our church family. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to be present in this place, Lord. And Holy Spirit, we need you so much, Lord. Thank you that your will be done in this service, Lord. We just want to please you. We want to grow in relationship with you. Thank you that you're doing a work in all of this, Lord. And we just love you and praise you. Thank you for your guidance today and every day. In the wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody in church building said, give the Lord some praise, church people. Matthew 4:15-16, we're talking about the high priest that we have. Spoiler alert, our high priest is Jesus Christ. Okay? Our high priest is Jesus Christ. Let's talk briefly about the priesthood back in the Bible days, Old Testament and New Testament. To be a priest, you would come out of the family or the bloodline of Aaron. Remember, Aaron was the brother of Moses. So to be a priest, you have to come out of the family line of Aaron. And the priest would offer sacrifices for the people. They would offer sacrifices for the people as an atonement for their sin. Out of these priests, one was chosen to be the high priest for a season. This is a human being out of the bloodline of Aaron. He'd be chosen, picked to be the high priest for a certain amount of time. And he, on the Day of Atonement, would go into the most holy place in the temple where the Ark of the Covenant was, where God's presence was. And he would go in there and apply blood to the mercy seat or apply blood to the Ark of the Covenant as an atonement for the sins of the people. So that's what the high priest would do. Now in Hebrews 9 in verse 7, we're going to talk a little bit about this high priest, this earthly high priest. Hebrews 9 and verse 7. But into the second only the high priest goes. And he but once a year, and not without taking blood, which he offers for himself, and the unintentional sins of the people. So Hebrews 9 in verse 7, Hebrews 9 and verse 7, it starts off like this, but into the second only. What we're talking about is the regular priest would enter that first section, but the high priest would enter that second section, or that most holy section where the Ark of the Covenant was, okay? So only the high priest could enter or go past that veil into the most holy place. Now check this out. And he but once a year, and not without taking blood, talking about that sacrifice, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself. Now that's very important, because the earthly high priest, or this high priest out of the bloodline of Aaron, he was just as flawed or messed up as me or you. Okay? Now this guy was set aside for a special purpose, but what I'm trying to say is he was a sinner just like me and you. So when he would go and apply that blood to the Ark of the Covenant, when he would go and apply that blood, it wasn't just for the sins of all the other Israelites, but it was for him as well. Amen? Does that make sense? Trying to say that this high priest was not a perfect man. So he was a sinner, just like me and you. So he had to make sure that his sins were atoned for as well. It's very important, because our high priest is Jesus Christ. So Hebrews 4 verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Now look at Hebrews 7 and 26 and 27. Let's talk about our high priest Jesus. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest. Listen to this, talking about Jesus, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. So Jesus Christ was that sinless, spotless lamb. Can I get a witness? Verse 27, he has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins. So the author of Hebrews is making that clear. Jesus is our high priest, and he wasn't atoning for his sins on the cross. Can I get a witness? Because he knew no sin. He never once sinned, okay? Completely different from the earthly high priest. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. So let's talk about this for a second. When he, Jesus Christ, paid for the sins of all humanity, very important to understand, and I think we all got this, but just in case you don't, he wasn't paying for his sins. He never once sinned. If he sinned, we would have a big problem. If he sinned, you might as well be fishing or playing the Xbox or whatever you want to do today, okay? But he didn't sin. And see, look, what would happen is these priests and the high priests from time to time, often, daily, would have to make these sacrifices as a temporary covering for the sins of the people. But when Jesus Christ made his sacrifice, it was one time, and that satisfied a holy God's judgment. Okay? That means any animal sacrifice that was done after the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ wasn't necessary. Jesus Christ paid for our sin debt once and for all, and it was more than enough. Amen? It was satisfied a holy God's wrath because the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus Christ. So you, if you are a Christian person, I'm not saying you if you grew up in a church, I'm not saying you if you've been to Sunday school a few times, I'm saying if you have realized that you are a sinner and you need a Savior because you cannot get to heaven on your own, if you've come to that place and you've asked Jesus to be that Lord and Savior and to forgive you of your sins, you are in the family of God. And he paid for your sins on that cross. Amen. So what I'm saying is you will never, I'm not saying your life's going to be easy here, but what I am saying is you will never, ever, ever know one minute millisecond of hell's torment. You will never know that because of what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. Give the Lord some praise. So this earthly high priest, he'd have to go in there, and he was also seeking atonement for his own sins, his own shortcomings. But Jesus Christ, not so. And it was more than enough that one time. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So the point that I really want to bring out right now is our high priest, Jesus Christ. He suffered so much for me and for you. He knows what you're going through. I want that to sink into you right now. I want you to think about that. I'm not saying that he just absolutely knows what you're going through. Of course he knows what you're going through. I'm saying he can identify with what you're going through because of his earthly experience. Jesus Christ, 100% God, 100% man, dwelled on earth for 33 plus years, and he was tempted in every single possible way imaginable. He knows what it feels like to be in agony. Matter of fact, look at Isaiah 53 and verse 3. Just talking a little bit about what our high priest went through, just a little tiny bit. He was despised. Does it kind of break your heart a little bit? This is our Lord and Savior, church people. This is Jesus Christ. He was despised. And it's hard for me to understand because I love him so much. Do you love him this morning? He's so good to us. You know, but look, he was despised and rejected by men. So our high priest was hated. People absolutely hated him. He was betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver. The Son of God was betrayed. He came to his own people and his own people didn't want anything to do with him. By the time Jesus went to that cross, he only had a handful of followers. He said, what about all those massive crowds that were following him around? Hey, when Jesus began to say, hey, you're going to have to pick up your, if you want to follow me, you're going to have to pick up your cross daily and deny yourself. Well, the crowds begin to thin out pretty fast. Most people were just going for all the cool stuff. They were going for the miracles. They were going for the free lunches. But when they heard that this can cost you something, those crowds begin to disperse. But he was despised. Our Lord and Savior was despised, rejected. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, or a man knowing grief. This is our Lord and Savior. Point I'm trying to make is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, suffered. I said, Paul, I know that, man. I learned that in Sunday school when I was 4 years old that he went to the cross. We just want to let that sink in this morning, let that mean something to you. Amen. Look at Isaiah 53 and verse 11. Out of the anguish of his soul. When I was reading that a while back, it like pierced my heart. And this is what I wanted to do for you guys. Let the Holy Spirit pierce our hearts today. You see, out of the anguish of his soul, Jesus Christ had anguish in his soul. To have a soul or a heart of anguish, that's not like losing your job. That's not like having your car insurance go up. That's not like so much. Okay, I was in a bad mood this morning, man. You know, there was a lot going on. I was like, man, this is crazy. You know, here we go again. The internet's not working, all that. So, you know, that's nothing. That is absolutely nothing. But my Lord and Savior had anguish in his soul. That's not like having your best friend talk trash about you. That's hurtful. That's painful. This is like losing a son. This is like having your husband die. This is like that earth-shattering, life-changing moment. And our Lord and Savior was in anguish. I just want us to kind of think about that for a second. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. What? The outcome, listen, the outcome of that anguish that our Lord and Savior, that our high priest felt, the outcome of that was satisfactory. It satisfied God. It satisfied the Son of God, because through that anguish and through that suffering was the atonement and the forgiveness of sins for all mankind, that all that would come to him. Amen. So Jesus said, this pain is going to be worth it. This pain is going to be worth it. Give the Lord some praise. So it's been said a million times from a million pulpits, but it's worth saying again. You know what kept Jesus Christ on that cross? It wasn't the nails. It was his love for me and for you. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge, by that knowledge of grief and pain and torment and suffering, by his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, says God the Father, saying, my son. By his knowledge of pain and suffering and grief, shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. And he shall bear the iniquities, and he shall bear their iniquities. So Jesus Christ was obedient to death, but not even just death, but death on a cross. So think about what he went through, the betrayal of his brother, Judas. The physical torment, the nails, the flogging, all that stuff, crown of thorns. The humiliation, You know, humiliation, being mocked, being paraded through the streets, carrying your cross butt naked. It's the truth. But it wasn't just all that stuff and the way he suffered. But, you know, it was okay, so check this out. When I think about my sins, when I think about Paul Rott's sins, I can almost be crushed by the weight of my past sins. Does that make sense? When I think about some of the selfish, evil, wicked, vile things that I've done, when Satan begins to whisper in my ear about my past, it can be overwhelming. That's why we run to the cross. Say, you know, I'm forgiven of that. I'm set free. I'm forgiven of that. That man's dead. But, and I'm just talking about, you know, me. And that's just the stuff that I'm thinking about, just the stuff that rises to the surface, the stuff that Satan knows is going to, you know, get me to pull over and get in a bad mood. Can I get a witness? I mean, I am such a flawed person, and I've fallen in so many ways, but I'm just one person. And sin, see, God the Father can have nothing to do with sin. He is holy, holy, holy. There is no one like him. And he loves me and you, but he can't have anything to do with sin. Sin repulses him. But he wanted us to be able to enjoy eternity with him. So he made that way through that sacrifice, through our high priest, Jesus Christ. Can I get a witness? And Jesus Christ, our high priest, knows what it feels like to suffer way beyond our comprehension of anything we ever will or ever could suffer. He has suffered way more because he didn't just bear the weight of my sins or our sins here in this congregation, but all humanity, past, present, and future. I mean, he paid for my sins 2,000 years ago before I even existed. He felt the weight of all of my sins. And Sister Claudia's and Brother Josh's and Brother Dalton's. And so Isaiah 53 says, for the punishment that he was bruised for our transgressions, he was crushed. He was crushed for our iniquities. That's talking about the weight of our sin. Crushing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So he suffered in all these physical ways with the humiliation and the physical beatings and all that. But he had the torment and the repulsion of all the sins of all humanity placed on him. Plus, because those sins, my sins, your sins, all humanity's sins were put on him, God the Father had to step back and look away. Jesus, what I'm saying is Jesus Christ was rejected by God. God's wrath was poured out on Jesus Christ so I don't ever have to be rejected. Amen. Does that make sense? He went through all that for me and for you. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He felt in that moment in time when all of our sins were placed on him and God the Father had to look away because, like I said, God can't have anything to do with sin. But he's a just God. He's a God of justice. So somebody has to pay for your sins. Either you're going to pay for them yourself, or you're going to receive that gift that Jesus Christ already paid for. Amen? Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to the next slide. Jesus Christ, our high priest. But one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Tempted just like me and y'all, except he knew temptations that we can't even begin to think about. He felt all the weight of that temptation, of those temptations. What do I mean by that? I mean, look, I don't know the full weight of all the temptations I've felt because I give into them. But Jesus Christ didn't give into them. So he felt the full weight of those temptations. But different than me and you, he didn't give in to that temptation. Hebrews 12, verse 3. Is everybody doing all right? Hebrews 12, 3 and 4. Jesus Christ knows what it feels like to suffer. He suffered beyond anything we can imagine. So we turn our eyes toward Jesus. Listen, we turn our eyes toward Jesus when we're going through it. Are you going through it this morning? Get your focus off of yourself. That sounds kind of harsh, right? But we're going through it. We get focused of ourselves and let's focus on God. Let's focus on God and his goodness and that high priest that knows how you feel. I'm not just saying he knows how you feel. He knows what you're going through. He identifies. He sympathizes with what we're going through. When I'm hurting, when I'm going through, it means a whole lot when there's somebody that has already walked a mile in those shoes. Amen. That knows what they're talking about because they've done been down that road. Can I get a witness? Hebrews 12, 3 and 4. Consider him. Talking about our high priest, talking about Jesus Christ. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. Turn our eyes toward Jesus. Think about what he went through. Okay? And you know, when you get to suffer, I didn't mess up what I was saying. When you get to suffer, when you get to go through these trials and storms and tribulations, and everybody's going through them. Everybody will go through them. Through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom. Can I get a witness? When we go through that pain and that torment, it allows us to understand just a little bit of what our Lord and Savior, our high priest, went through for us. Just a little bit, because we will never know the pain and sorrow of having the sins of the world or your sins on your person. Does that make sense? You will never know God the Father stepping back and saying, I can't have anything to do with you. Not if you've accepted Jesus Christ. Because that's been poured out on you. Give the Lord some praise. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. When I'm suffering, turn to Jesus. Get your focus on Jesus. Magnify the Lord. Magnify him. You put a magnifying glass on something, you see it for what it is. You get a better picture of it. So God is inviting us, and get your eyes off of yourself, even though you're hurting, and just see God for who he is. See God for his love, his grace, his mercy, his compassion. So that you may not grow weary. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you, me and you, may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Because God knows our frame. Jesus Christ, our high priest, walked in human flesh. He says, I know you get physically tired. I know you get wore out from the weight of everything going on. And when you get like that, I want you to understand that I have overcome the world. And I want you to turn your eyes towards me and follow me. Follow my example. See how I dealt with the temptations. See how I dealt with the torment. See how he was on that cross. And the Romans were gambling over his clothing. Then he said, Father, forgive them. These guys killed him. They nailed him to that cross. He was dying and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's a heck of an example, church people, for us to follow. You know what I mean? I don't want to forgive people when they betrayed me. Not Paul. I don't want to forgive. I want to get even with you. I want to make you feel the pain that you made me feel. Can I get a witness? That's the old me. And I got to push that man down. I got to refuse to feed that person. Amen. Because that way doesn't lead to any way good. But if I turn my eyes toward Jesus when I'm going through it, break out my old what would Jesus do bracelet from 1990, whatever. You know, what would Jesus do? Turn my eyes toward Jesus because he suffered in ways we can't imagine. So that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. I like this. This is probably one of my favorite parts in the book of Hebrews. The author says this right here, talking about your trials, your storms, your tribulations, your temptations. Check this out. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. What's he saying? He's saying, hey, check your pulse, man. You're not dead. You're not dead like some of the Christians that were rounded up, like scores and tons of the Christians that were rounded up, that were murdered in the Colosseums, that were used as human torches for the emperor's parties, that were fed to lions for people's enjoyment, just for being Christians. The author of Hebrews saying, look, man, you're alive. You ain't dead. Okay? That means a couple things. Well, it means you're alive. It means you're not dead. It means that, I still got work for you to do. You ain't graduated yet, man. You're going to get your reward. But, man, while you're here and your lungs are breathing in air, he says, man, I don't want you all depressed and stressed out and anxious. So when you get like that, I want you to understand that Jesus Christ, your high priest, knows what it feels like. And he says, let me give you strength. You see that I know how you feel, and I went through it, and I will give you the strength to get through it as well. Take it one day at a time. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is pretty cool. All God's people said, oh, this is pretty cool. It is super cool. This is a promise from our God. Okay, now the promises of God are very, very important, obviously. So when we're going through it, we want to stand on God's promises. We want to stand on God's promises. God's word is true. Amen? So I stand on God's promises. So here I am going through this crazy trial, whatever it might be. I mean, I'm just really going through it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has ever taken you that is not common to man. Well, that makes me feel great. No temptation has ever taken you that is common to man. Whatever you're going through, you're not the only one, amen. You're not the only one that has had to deal with something like this, okay? That's important. Because sometimes, I mean, we feel like we're so isolated and nobody can identify with us. No one understands what I, Paul Rott, am going through. Well, you know what? If that is true, and hopefully your church family will be there for you. When people let us down, we don't even mean to. But see, even if you feel so alone and nobody knows what you're going through, turn your eyes back to Jesus, our high priest, because he knows. He knows. He knows the pain. He knows the torment. Well, I have been betrayed by my brother. Jesus Christ was betrayed by Judas, man. You know, he was rejected by his people. He came to save these people and they didn't want anything to do with him. Well, they wanted the goodies. They wanted the bennies. They wanted the benefits. But they didn't want that relationship because, hey, that might cost me something. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. I want you to remember that. God is faithful. And he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. That's the promise I'm talking about. When you feel like you're going to be crushed by the weight of the trial that you're going through, grab a hold of this promise right here. Okay? God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. You won't. This is where that comes from. God won't give you more than you can handle. Right here. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Hey, you're going to go through it. Okay. God knows what you're going through and he cares about what you're going through. He sympathizes with what you're going through. He says, you are not alone. And he says, I'm not going to allow you to take on more than you can handle. But you know, many, 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 many times, that weight of whatever it is will be so staggering that the ability is not within me, but I can do all things through Christ who is in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through the Holy Spirit. Some things I can't say no to. you're talking about wanting to get even with somebody or something like that. There's a natural impulse, man, where someone snaps at you. You want to get, you know, you might have that personality where you want to go right back toe to toe, right? So I'm just saying that we can easily, easily fall into a little trap of Satan, because that thing will get bigger and bigger and deeper and deeper and deeper. But see, if I lean on Jesus Christ, if I follow his example, if I want to be more like Jesus and less like myself, I can learn from him and I can receive the strength that he has for me to say no when I really want to say yes. Can I get a witness? No temptation is overtaking you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. You know, talking about temptations, look at King David for a minute. You know, this guy, the whole thing with him and Bathsheba, man, he messed up a bunch of stuff, dude. He had everything going for him, you know? We have the luxury of learning from this guy. I mean, we have the same ability to fall just like him and mess everything up. Can I get a witness? This guy, man, a man after God's own heart, God had been so good to him. Talking about that temptation, going for that walk on his rooftop. Sees a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful lady taking a bathtub, you know? So, you know, the David was in the palace, so he had the perfect view into everybody's backyard. You know, everybody's yard, they had like these walls around their yard. So it's not like everybody in town could see Bathsheba taking a bath in her yard. But where his point of view, his vantage point, he could see really well. See, talking about that temptation, boom, there's a really beautiful girl naked taking a bath. Hot dog, right? No. No, look, man, look. That wasn't a sin that he saw her. But when he had that, when he wouldn't look away, he wouldn't look away, and then he like goes to his service and, who's that girl? Who's that girl, man, taking a bath out there? And the servant was like, this servant was pretty bold, man. He's like, that's the wife, that's Bathsheba. That's the wife of Uriah the Hittite. That's the wife of one of your soldiers. So Uriah was part of this group of soldiers called the 30 Mighty Men. It was like a special forces group before there was a special forces group. 30 mighty men. So this, David would have known this guy pretty well. And he was living very close to the king, you know? But David didn't care about any of that because he started to give into that temptation. You know? He saw it. He didn't look away. He got the information. He said, bring her to me. And man, he messed up so much because of that. You know? He had his own son try and usurp the kingdom out from underneath him. Had children die because of that? Because of that one thing where he decided, I'm going to give into that temptation. Instead of saying, oh, you know, I'm sorry. You know, even if he just repented after like having some bad thoughts or something, you know. Whoa, man, I'm a godly man. What am I doing? Staring at her. What am I doing? Thinking about this. Forgive me. But he didn't do that. So all that stuff got messed up. But then talking about temptation. But then we look at Joseph, this other godly guy, you know, who was treated so poorly. You know, Joseph, the coat of many colors dude, okay, that guy. You know, he had a rough go of it, man. His own brothers were going to kill him just because he didn't like him. They were going to kill him because he was a whiny little kid. You know, he wasn't a whiny little kid. But anyway, he should have used a little more wisdom on telling his little dreams to everybody, I guess. But you guys are going to bow down to me one day. You guys are going to bow down to me. Feel good down there. You're about to bow to them. His own brothers are like, man, dude, they wanted to kill him. And then they said, you know what? We'll make a few dollars out of this. Let's just sell him into slavery. Sell him into slavery. Joseph was a good dude, loved the Lord, gets sold into slavery. It's not a good day in anybody's book. You know, he gets bought by this dude, Potiphar. You know, this high-ranking official in Pharaoh's government. And God blesses Joseph. Joseph keeps a good attitude through all this mess. Sometimes God can't bless us like he wants to bless us because we got a rotten attitude. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. But Joseph just keeps advancing and advancing and advancing to where Potiphar doesn't have to worry about nothing because Joseph's taking care of everything. And then there's Potiphar's old lady. You know, she's a mess. All God's people say she's a hot mess. I really should try and figure out what that really means. He just said hot mess in church. Look, Potiphar's wife wanted to be naughty with Joseph, man. Right? And so she keeps trying to get Joseph to sleep with her. And Joseph's like, no, man, I can't do that, man. My master don't hold nothing back from me except for you. I can't do that. That wouldn't be right to God. That wouldn't be right to Potiphar. Where some people would be like, you know what? I've had a pretty rough go of things, man. My brothers sold me into slavery. I'm a Hebrew living in Egypt. You guys are sinners worshiping a bunch of idols. I don't care about Potiphar. I don't care about none of it. There ain't nobody going to know. No one's going to ever know. All right, lock the door. Right? No, he didn't do that. He's like, I can't do that. That wouldn't be right. That's a godly man right there, right? And then this wicked old lady, Potiphar's old lady. What do they call them? Ladies, cougars or something? This lady wouldn't take no for an answer. So when she has all the servants, I don't want anyone showing up to work today. You guys go out in the barn or whatever. Nobody can be in the house when Joseph gets to work. And Joseph comes in. He's like, hey, where's everybody at? No one's here. Just me. It's just Joseph and Potiphar's old lady. And she ain't going to take no for an answer today. And she grabs a hold of Joe, grabs a hold of his garment. You know what I mean? Like, come here, big fella. And Joseph runs out of his garment, man, leaves the house. He's not going to do it because it would be wrong. He had all the, how can I say that? He was like any young man, you know, but he said, this isn't right. I'm not going to do it. So he fled that temptation. Sometimes your way of escape is just fleeing, running out the door. You know what I mean? Sometimes fleeing temptation is not going to that place where you're going to have to run out the door. You know what I mean? But Joseph didn't put himself there, but he said, I'm not going down like this. And he fled that temptation. And his life didn't get easier from that point. It got harder. Potiphar comes home from work. And Potiphar's old lady's like, well, you know that Hebrew slave you brought in here? He tried to rape me. I knew it. He's a bad man, Potiphar. I'm pretty sure Potiphar knew how his old lady worked. But he had to throw the kid in jail, man. So what I'm saying is, David gave in to temptation and it messed up a whole lot. Joseph didn't give in to that temptation and his life got a lot harder. But you know what? God was faithful. God was faithful and God blessed him for his obedience. Amen. When God says, don't sin, don't give in to temptation, he's not saying, I don't want my kids to have fun. He's saying, I don't want my kids to be hurt. And I don't want my kids to hurt other people by the effects of their sin. Can I get a witness? So, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. That's important. Jesus Christ, yet without sin. Because like I said, if he sinned once, he would have to pay for his own sins. But he was that sinless, spotless lamb, or that lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth. Just real fast talking about, yet he did not sin. A little reference for you, and there's oodles of this, but just this one verse, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, this is the Apostle Paul. for our sake, for us, for Sister Rachel, for Brother Paul, Sister Claudia. I'm trying to remember who's in church right now without saying, he doesn't even know that person's not here. Or he, yeah, whatever. Tell the truth, stand it up. So, for our sake, for me and for you, he made him, God the Father, made Jesus Christ. God the Father made Jesus Christ for me and for you. For our sake, God the Father made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see what happened? You see what? Jesus, that sinless, spotless lamb, paid for my sins, even though he never once sinned. Never once gave into that temptation at all, because he was tempted in every single possible way. He just wouldn't give into it because he was thinking about me and you. I mean, he was thinking about being obedient to the Father. He was thinking about, I love my Father. It's not about me. It's about my Father and his will to be done. Amen. That's the difference between like David, who's a man after God's own heart, and then Joseph, you know, I was like, I won't do this. This is wicked. He was tempted, but he wouldn't give into it. But look at what Jesus went through. He knew no sin, but he was made sin. All the sin of all humanity crushed him for me and for you. This was done so that his righteousness, because we are not righteous people. I am very confident of this, and I know everybody will disagree. But I know that I'm not a good person without Jesus. I'm not, man. I can be very selfish, very, very selfish. That's my default setting, man. It's all about me. Can I get a witness? But with Jesus Christ, man, as my Lord and Savior, see, here's this amazing thing. Because we're all so messed up, we're all such flawed people. Even the best of us, we've all broken God's law too many times to count. You know, even the best of us. But the righteousness of God, his purity, his righteousness is given to me. I don't deserve that. You don't deserve that. We don't deserve that. We could never earn that. But that's for God so loved. He loved us so much, and he loves us so much. Jesus Christ paid for that. He felt the full weight of God's judgment for our sins, so we would never, ever have to face that. Ain't God good? Thank you, Jesus. So we have this high priest, Jesus Christ. Jesus, there's a lot of ways or a lot of names attached to Jesus Christ. Son of God, Son of Man, Friend of Sinners, Messiah. Then we have this. He is our high priest. And that's what he is. So Hebrews 4:15-16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He knows the pain and the torment and agony of living in this world. He knows the suffering. He was that suffering servant. He was very familiar with grief. Amen. He knows the way to temptation. He really knows the full weight of temptation because he never once gave into that temptation. Amen. But let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Aren't you glad that the author of Hebrews says, draw near to the throne of grace? He says, hey, it's the throne of grace and not like the throne of God's perfect judgment. You know what I mean? But the throne of grace. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Isn't that beautiful? Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Because of that sacrificial gift of our high priest, Jesus Christ, I can, and I've accepted that precious gift of salvation. So I have been adopted into the family of God. And because I've been adopted in the family of God, and because of what that high priest Jesus Christ did for me on the cross, I have access to the throne room of heaven. And he said, the author of Hebrews says, boldly, man, with confidence, go there, man. You know, it's like sometimes, man, you dealing with important people and stuff, you kind of have to set up appointments. Maybe they'll get with you. Maybe they won't. Maybe they're like, ah, you're just a little guy. I don't really have one of your people talk to one of my people. But here's the thing about God, the Father, the creator of the universe, the sovereign God who says, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. He says, you boldly or with confidence. You have confidence. I want you to be confident about this, that I want to receive you. You come on and hang out with me anytime you want. He says, Jesus Christ, your high priest, knows what it feels like. He knows what you're going through, and he cares, and he sympathizes, and he says, you come talk to God anytime you want to. Anytime you want. Little story. I've used this before, but like I said, I don't have like a million and one examples. So I got to pull from the pot, you know, and I got to pull from the examples I got. But see, I had this uncle that was kind of famous in this town, in this area. He was a backyard wrestler, not playing. Because that'll make you famous in this part of the woods. But no, I couldn't claim anything like that. But he was a superintendent of the schools in Santa Rosa County for over 20 years, I think. Bennett Russell, my mom's brother. So he's an important guy around town. And for some reason, man, I don't know, 18, 19 years old, I was working in this area by where his office was. And I was like, you know, I'm going to go visit this cat. I'm going to go visit my uncle. I don't know why. I just did. So I go to his office. And as I'm going to walk in, there's like a secretary outside of his office. I said, excuse me. So yeah. I said, you have to have an appointment. Do you have an appointment? It's like, no, I have no appointment, but I want to see Bennett Russell. And she like wrote my name down or something like that. And I'm waiting. And then finally my uncle comes out. Because I mean, I don't know what the guy had to do. I don't even really remember what in the world I had to do up there. I just want to talk to him, I guess. So he finally comes out and he like looks around. He's like, Paul, you don't have to make an appointment, man. I know it was you. You know, you can come in anytime you want to. You know, this was a kind of an important thing to me, you know, little old me. He said, look, you are family. You're family. You can confidently come anytime you want to and talk to me. Same thing if one of my kids call or my wife calls or whatever. You know what I mean? I'm talking to anybody. But if one of them call, I'm like, oh, man, I better take it. Why? Because of relationship. They know that I'm there for them. God wants us to know that, hey, I'm always here for you. Can I get a witness? James, look at James. James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, and we do. If any of you lacks wisdom. See, David thought, well, I just handle this on my own. Naked lady ain't nothing new to me. I got like four. Yeah. We need God's wisdom, man. You know what I mean? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. What I really want to point out here is if you need to talk to God, go to him. Because look, without reproach, or the King James says, abradeth not. The NIV says, without finding fault. Gives generously to all without finding fault. The NLT says, gives generously to all, and he will not rebuke you. So what James is saying here is sometimes you go and talk to people, and they snap at you. They'll kind of snap at you. They don't have time for you, right? And the picture is like a dog snapping at you. James says, no, that's not God. He's not going to snap at you He's not going to say, well, you shouldn't have done it in the first place. We boldly go to that throne of grace when we need mercy, and he's got all the mercy we need. That grace, that help, he's got all we need. You know what I mean? He's not going to snap at you and say, you know what, man? If you would have came to me yesterday before you would have dropped the ball, that'd be a lot different. But you didn't, man. So now you're in this big mess, and you expect me to help you out of this mess? He says, you confidently, because we're family, you come talk to me. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without snapping at him, and it will be given him. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So in our time of need, understand that our God knows what we're going through. He sympathizes with us. He's walked down that road way more than we ever have. Amen? He says, you come to me for help because I want to be there for you. Don't try and do it on your own. 1 John 1:9, because sometimes we need that mercy. Sometimes we have really messed up things like David. But look at 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to carry the burdens of our mistakes and our selfish actions. You know what I mean? He says, if you confess your sins to me, if you see them the way I see them and you ask me to forgive you, buddy, it's like it never happened. You know, not saying you won't have to deal with some of the consequences of those actions, right? But he says, hey, you are forgiven. What I mean, you go and rob a bank, man, and you start feeling really, really bad about it. You know, I really shouldn't have robbed that. I don't know what I was thinking. I shouldn't have robbed that bank. I ain't never going to feel good spending this money now. I shouldn't have robbed that bank. All God's people say, no. Hey, and then you're really, 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 really tore up about it, and you are convicted of your sin. So you go, turn yourself in. And you say, God, forgive me. I'm such an idiot. I can't believe I did that. He'll forgive you all day long, man. But that don't mean the judge is going to be that lenient on you. You know what I'm saying? He's like, let me get this straight. He went and robbed the bank. Never mind. I'm not doing that. You guys ain't got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, hold on a second, man. I thought when you accepted Christ, when you had that salvation experience, all your sins are forgiven. Yeah, he paid for all your sins way before you were ever born. The ones you committed before you were saved and the ones after. What we're talking about, when a Christian messes up, when a Bible-believing Christian messes up, does something selfish, something they shouldn't do, okay, this is what's going to happen. It is going to mess up with your fellowship. It's going to mess your fellowship up with your God. It's going to mess that fellowship up with your God. An example, or just for instance, or whatever. Let me just make something up on the fly since you guys are here. No, man, check this out. Like if your son comes and does some horrible thing to you, to his father, because when we sin, that's who we're hurting, our father, right? So if your son comes and does something horrible to you, he's still your son and you still love him. And you're like, he's my son. You'll do anything in the law for him because he's your son, he's your blood, and you love him. Same thing with us. But there needs to be a situation where the young man comes to you and says, Dad, I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. I was being selfish. And then that fellowship is restored. Amen? So that's what God's talking about, man. Are we all on the same page? That we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Sometimes, you know, whatever we need, that mercy is us not getting what we deserve. That grace is God's favor that you didn't earn, that you can earn, that you cannot earn. You know what I mean? So grace and mercy in my time of need, God has everything I need. And he's already walked down the road before me. He knows what I'm going through and he cares about what I'm going through. And he says, don't do this on your own. Don't be like little David and mess everything up, man. You know, run to me. Run to me confidently. Come, let me help you with your burden. Philippians 4:13, we all know it. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. If you remember anything, remember that. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I can say no to temptation through Christ. Amen. I can get through my trials, my storms, my pains, my heartaches, because God gives me strength. When I need help, He is my source. He is everything. Amen. Hebrews 2 and verse 18. Big thing here, man. Really, really big. I'm very handy, motiony today. I don't know if I always do that or not, but I'm kind of like realizing I'm doing a lot with my... Check this out. Moonwalk. Now, look, Hebrews 2 and verse 18. When I was young, I really wanted to moonwalk and break dance and all that stuff. Never did happen. That's on the big old list of categories of things I never accomplished. Who said that? I guess you're right. I guess you're right. There's encouragement for you. Next week, I'm going to be doing that worm thing up here. So, yeah. Check him out. Okay, Hebrews 2 and verse 18. Follow the example of Jesus. Follow the example of Jesus. Last thought, man. Last thought. Follow the example of your high priest. Okay? So, for because he himself has suffered when tempted, because he did suffer, because he himself suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Well, one thing I have the comfort of knowing that my God, my high priest, has went through way more than I ever have. And when I suffer, it's just it's a little tiny piece where I can identify with him just a little bit about what he went through for me. And he gives me everything I need. There's that mercy. There's that grace. There's that strength. There's that provision. But he says, let me help you. Let me help you because I've been down this road before. So follow my example. So like when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness from Satan himself, I doubt very seriously we've ever had Satan himself whisper into our little ear. Yeah, I doubt it. You know what I mean? I'm sure that cat's way too busy to mess with you. You know, you got one of them little imps. But Satan himself is nothing compared to Jesus Christ. Satan's a created being, fallen angel. Jesus is the great I am. And Satan tempted Jesus Christ, and he was tempted. How can God be tempted? It was his humanity that was being tempted. 100% God, 100% man. It was his humanity that was being tempted. But what did he do? What did he do? He quoted scripture to Satan. He didn't just mouth off the words, but he believed it in his heart and he stood on it. You know what I mean? So we follow that example, going through a trial. What does God's word say? Let me stand on that. This is how my body feels. This is how my mind feels. This is how my heart feels. Well, this is what God's word says. So let's not forget our high priest. Let's follow his example. Amen.